Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying seven roles of Christ, the prologue of John's Gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at John chapter 1, verse 13. Jesus is the re-creator. We can change our clothes, our habits, our vocabulary, our reading level, even our attitude. But according to the Bible, there is one thing we cannot change: our sinful state. Something more is needed. Someone else is needed. John 1, verse 13, our text. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. First, let's consider the meaning of this verse. It contains negative statements and a positive statement. About becoming children of God. First, let's look at the three negative statements. Being a child of God is not the result of heredity. It was the idea in the ancient world that birth took place as the result of commingling of the blood from the man and the woman. And Jewish people thought that since their bloodline was the chosen one, they were in right standing with God, just because they were born into the Jewish race. But simply being Jewish is not enough. A person does not become a child of God by the accident of physical birth. You aren't a Christian just because your parents were Christians, or because your grandfather was a pastor. And you don't get points with God just because you come from a good family. Your family background doesn't count when it comes to salvation. Something more is needed. Someone else is needed. Nor is it the result of human desire. The phrase, nor of the will of the flesh, means not of human desire. The word for desire is the same word used for a strong passion for sexual relations. John is saying, there's nothing you can do to save yourself. So, don't bother trying. Something more is needed. Someone else is needed. Nor is it the result of human effort. John is referring to personal determination and will. We can't will our way, bribe our way, work our way into God's good graces. No man is big enough or strong enough to swing open the pearly gates, no matter how hard they try. Something more is needed. Someone else is needed. Being a child of God is not the result of heredity or human desire or human effort, but rather it's God's miracle. The last phrase of this verse, but of God, contains the heart of the gospel. Salvation is of the Lord. All human initiative is ruled out. It's a gift, totally free and totally of grace. It originates from God alone and from His initiative. Jesus is the something more, and Jesus is the someone else. Now, second, let's consider an example of this verse. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and then 7 and 8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus used the same birth metaphor with Nicodemus. He was desiring to be a child of God. He was trying to be a child of God by the result of his impressive birthright. Tradition tells us that Nicodemus belonged to a distinguished and wealthy Jerusalem family. He was from the, quote, old money of Jerusalem's ruling class. Some scholars believe he was the brother of the Jewish historian Josephus. He looked good. He wore the right clothes. He had the background. Or he was trying to be a child of God by his great passion. Nicodemus had an impressive resume. He was a Pharisee, one of the intellectual guardians of the law. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, a select group of 70 men who served as kind of a combination Congress and Supreme Court. He was Israel's teacher, the authority, the one whose opinion could sway the vote. Nicodemus had all his bases covered in attempting to get to God. He was passionately in pursuit of God, or he was trying to do it by his hard work. The Pharisees were widely respected for their intense piety and deep scholarship. Nicodemus devoted his life to the Torah and its application to daily life. He pledged to separate himself from all sin. That meant studying the Bible for hours every day, praying 2 hours a day, giving a tithe of all he possessed, and being deeply concerned about morality. In a word, he was religious. Religion wasn't enough. He was still thirsty in his soul, and it was that thirst that drove Nicodemus to Jesus. He needed something more. He needed someone else. Don't miss this point. Nicodemus concluded that being religious wasn't enough. If it were, Nicodemus wouldn't have had the time or interest to meet Jesus. Nicodemus had the right clothes, the right habits, the right education, but his soul was empty. Nicodemus had a high moral character and a deep religious knowledge, but he still had an unsatisfied spiritual hunger. Something was missing in his life, and he wondered if Jesus could fill that void. Look at verses 3 through 5 of John 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." The answer Jesus gave to the well-respected religious leader was that he had to be born again. Jesus was talking about a second birth, but a spiritual one. You're born once physically, and that physical birth introduces you to the physical world. But if you want to enter the kingdom of God, the world of spiritual reality, you need a spiritual birth. Just in case Nicodemus misunderstood this truth, Jesus added an encouragement in verses 7 and 8. "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." So what are the implications of Jesus as the recreator? Nicodemus' response was sincere. He didn't ask why. He asked how. How is a person born again? We need to understand four things about being born again. Only God can give you what you need. At rebirth, God gives you new eyes so you can see by faith. A new mind so that you can have the mind of Christ. A new strength so you won't get tired. A new vision so you won't lose heart. A new voice to praise Him and new hands to serve Him. And most of all, He gives you a new heart, cleansed by Jesus Christ. Only God can give you what you need. The first birth was for earthly life. You receive a spiritual heart to have eternal life. You have nothing to do with the process. You were not born the first time because of what you did. Someone else did all the work. Someone else felt all the pain. Your mother did the pushing and the struggling. Your birth was due to someone else's effort. The same is true for your spiritual birth. It's through Jesus' pain that you're reborn. He did all the work. It takes time to grow. A newborn baby can't walk, can't feed himself, can't read, can't speak. But someday he will. And likewise, God knows that in time, you will grow and mature into faith. You will fall. You will stumble. You will sometimes give in to your old desires. But God is still at work. He is more patient than you are with yourself. It's your choice. You must come to Jesus personally, on your own, one-on-one. Salvation involves a personal, individual commitment of your heart to Jesus Christ. No one can do it for you. You must trust Christ completely, relying on Him alone for your salvation. Have you been born again? Nicodemus was a man. He knew about God, but didn't know God personally. We need what he needed, the experience of spiritual rebirth. And he was born again. And how do we know? Well, you got to go to John chapter 19, verse 39, down to verse 42. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus, and Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in stripes of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. Notice verse 39. Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came. This was the clear result of his changed life. When Joseph buried Jesus, he needed a helper. And the man who once visited Jesus at night came into the open. The man who once was afraid of being seen with Jesus now was not embarrassed that the whole world knows. Nicodemus was a changed man. That's what happens when you're born of God. Your nature is changed. Your heart is changed. You become a new person from the inside out. And people recognize it. That's what happens to people who are born again. They change. They follow Jesus Christ in their daily lives. They live their lives according to biblical standards. They move from religion to a relationship with Jesus Christ. They submit to Jesus as Lord. They act like a Christian. Have you been born again? You have a great day.